the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, following Russia's reported discovery of a potential 510 billion barrels of oil in Antarctica during an exploratory mission which the country claims was undertaken for scientific research, fears have been expressed about the potential for a Russian oil grab in the icy continent. To discuss this, I'm joined now by Professor Klaus Dodds, Antarctic expert and Professor of Geopolitics at Royal Holloway University in London. You're very welcome. I suppose, first of all, when we think about oil, potential oil or other resources in the Antarctic, who has a claim on it and who owns what?
Good morning. It's a more complicated picture than I think the British media in particular has presented. But in a nutshell, Antarctica is, if you excuse the expression, a no man's land. So we have seven countries historically have made claims to the Antarctic, including the United Kingdom. Nobody else recognizes those claims. And really, since 1959, we've had an Antarctic treaty that, amongst other things, says, let's try and find ways to get along with one another. And usually science, diplomacy has loomed large. And more recently, we had a special agreement called the Protocol on Environmental Protection that said all forms of mining are banned. And the signatories to all of these treaties include Russia, the United States, China, India, and quite a few others.
Well, it's so interesting, Klaus. Yeah, it's interesting that agreement goes back to 1959, right in the thick of the Cold War, and yet they were able to reach that agreement. But at the same time, countries, and Russia in particular, has been doing some kind of seismic surveys, presumably they would say for scientific purposes. But how do you define scientific purposes?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because the problem is the relevant protocol says, look, all forms of mining are banned, but then it also says you can do scientific research. And crucially, it doesn't define what scientific research is. So the problem is, when the protocol was negotiated in 1991, the relationship with Russia was a lot better than it is today. Nowadays, we have to deal with a Russia that is expert at working with the so-called grey zone. So part of a problem is knowing precisely what they have been up to and whether it really is just scientific research or whether it's something a bit more disturbing.
That protocol and agreement is in place. When it was originally signed, finding oil or other resources or gas in Antarctica might not have been a priority for many of the countries. The scramble for resources appears to be very much on. I wonder if one country or more countries decided to just tear up the agreement, what would the consequences be if they just decided to start mining it?
Yeah, it's always the great fear when you have treaties, particularly treaties in areas that are very, very remote and where you have to basically get along with one another and exercise mutual constraint. To be honest, we've been speculating about oil and gas in the Antarctic since the 1970s.
So is it there, Klaus? Is it there, a lot of it?
Yeah, well, the US Geological Survey did a famous report in 1974 and said, look, there is likely to be potential. Now, whether it's sensible financially, environmentally, to do any of this, surely we should answer emphatically no. But that hasn't stopped countries doing, frankly speaking, foolish, reckless things in the past.
Is there a question as well that the technology has moved on, that a country like Russia might be more interested in the potential of actually extracting this stuff from Antarctica?
Well, the good news is Russia has plenty of oil and gas to extract in its northern Arctic territories. Again, because of climate change, we don't want to see more oil and gas extraction. But Antarctica is a low priority. Where I think this story matters is Russia is a bad faith actor. Russia is a mischief maker. So even if these stories end up being exaggerated, distorted, sensationalist, it just ends up unsettling things. And Russia benefits so often when it unsettles international regimes and treaties.
You mentioned there about the Arctic, and it's quite different. There is no such agreement like that in place. And the Arctic was actually territorially carved up by six countries, and they're free, legally free, are they, to allocate licenses and have people explore for oil and gas?
Yeah, so the Arctic, there's actually eight Arctic states. There's five Arctic Ocean coastal states, which is, just to put it straightforwardly, Russia is the largest Arctic state. 50% of the Arctic is Russian. So much of oil and gas in Russia is found either onshore or offshore in areas that are not disputed. So Russia can do whatever it wants. And Russia, because of sanctions imposed by the West, has been working with China, India, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates to actually get that oil and gas extracted, because Russia can't do anything without either foreign direct investment or technical expertise. It needs partners.
Back in Antarctica, this issue arose recently, a discussion in a House of Commons Environmental Audit Committee, and you spoke of that committee, and it was picked up by a number of news media, The Telegraph included. But what really got their attention was the fact that some of this possible oil find was in waters that were part of Britain's original claim to that part of Antarctica. Do you think that these claims, if somebody breaches this agreement, do you think that you will see those claims coming back into play?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I think that if I'd had my time again, I would have liked to have spent more time with that parliamentary committee just explaining that the story was, you know, a little bit more complicated than had been presented in the British media. And so those estimates that this Russian state oil company offered actually referred to other parts of the Antarctic continental shelf and not just what we would describe as the Weddell Sea, which is part of British Antarctic territory. But notwithstanding that, the principle is still an important one, which is those seven territorial claims are not recognised by anybody else, formally speaking, and worse still for the British, which complicates things, is that same bit of territory, if you like, is also claimed by Argentina and Chile. And of course, as you know, and your listeners will probably be aware of,
there's a familiarity about that
claims
one.
That, exactly, the Falklands, the Malvinas. So it's quite a big deal for us here in the UK.
Well, Professor Klaus Dodds, Antarctic expert and professor of geopolitics at Royal Holloway University in London. Thank you very much for talking us through and explaining that.